wiggle his fingers. Oh, look at him wiggle. Look at him wiggle.
Oh, yeah.
Look at him wiggle.
This is just almost impossible to describe. Hundreds of persons have gathered around the Beatles down on the ground. Apparently, this has been quite an event for the old-timers out here at Kennedy Airport. They've seen a lot of dignitaries come and go.
High school Beatles.
Chiefs of state, world-renowned scientists, artists, but nothing to compare with the Beatles, they tell me. Well, they're locking arms now. Apparently, they're going to make a concerted effort to get through into the building, where in just a few moments, a scheduled press conference will begin. Murray McKay is downstairs, manning a Winds microphone, and will be covering every exciting move and minute of the Beatles here at Kennedy Airport.
And I was down there at the most frenzied press conference Kennedy Airport has ever seen.
Can we please have quiet?
Quiet,
hey, hey!
Let the feasting begin.
Unless you keep quiet, we don't even have a press.
Will you please shut up? How was your trip over?
Fine, very nice.
A bit bumpy over Alaska, though. Have you ever seen a reception like this in any of the...
No, it's the best ever we've ever had.
What do you think of Beethoven?
It's one of them.
Especially his poems. Do you hope to get a haircut at all while you're in his...
No. I had one yesterday.
What's his name says he had a haircut yesterday, and he is so full of hair you can't see his face right now.
No, he didn't.
You should have seen him the day before.
What about all this talk that you represent some kind of a social rebellion?
It's a dirty lie.
It's a dirty lie.
He said you're looking before Elvis Presley.
He must be blind.
It's not true. It's not true.
Would you please sing something?
No.
Sorry.
Next question.
From now we can sing.
No, we need money first.
Outside the airport, four Cadillacs were standing by. One for each of the Beatles, you know. One for each. And where were they going to take them to New York State? Sophisticated Plaza Hotel.
Almost all right here is being made by the reporters as they try to get towards the Beatles. They're coming out of the last car now at the Plaza Hotel, ducking underneath the marquee, waving to the kids across the street as the policemen from the 18th precinct rush them in underneath the big canopy outside of the hotel now. It was a fast move. They hardly had time to know they were arriving. There was a quick toot on the horn, and then suddenly they were inside and out of sight completely. Across the street, the kids who have been lining up here since about 2 o'clock this afternoon had just about enough chance to take one quick look, to wave three times at the kids as they ran by, and then it was all over. Now, directly across from the hotel, between the fountain and the marquee of the hotel, the policemen are leaning against the gray barricades, the sawhorses, trying to keep them back, to keep them from overflowing into the street. The traffic has continued to move. At least five photographers down toward the end, who had taken about 25 minutes to get themselves set up on top of stepladders to get a good view of the proceedings, never did get a shot at all. They were turned the wrong way. And right now, in the midst of all this, a gentleman drove up in a taxi cab and gets out with the most puzzled expression you ever saw. He must think he's on the wrong planet, not in front of the wrong hotel. This is Jim Gordon at the Plaza.
The Plaza may never recover. In other words, they don't know what's happened, Dad. The crowds, though, they're still there, waiting for just one glimpse of their idols.
Up there at the window?
Are they coming out?
I was going to ask you if they're coming out. They've been inside for 10 minutes now. What are you still doing here? What's your favorite Beatles song? Sing a little bit.
Come on, honey. Yeah. The Beatles, She Loves You, and that record and at least two others have been smash hits in the United States for about a month. One alone, I Want to Hold Your Hand, has sold over 1 million in just 1 month. In fact, for the first time in our memory, and as far as we're concerned, ever, Three records by the Beatles share the number one spot on the Wins 10 and 10 list, a feat not even accomplished by Elvis Presley, who created a little bit of a storm himself, if you remember. And all this without having ever been seen in performance in this country. And when you're asked to do three Ed Sullivan shows in a row, man, that's really happening. I mean, you're in gear, dear. And their two concerts at Carnegie Hall were sold out only hours after they were announced. And there's a rumor on Broadway that ticket scalpers are getting as much as $75 a pop for what is now the hottest ticket in New York. But if they are that big here after only 1 month, think of what it's like in England after 18 months. But then again, it shouldn't come as a great surprise to us to see an English group take over the American popular music market like this. Some of Broadway's biggest hit shows like Oliver, Stop the World, Beyond the Fringe, Luther, all these have been imported from England. The New York film critics have just voted the English movie Tom Jones as best film of the year. And we've even adopted the satirical British TV show That Was the Week That Was as part of our own weekly TV scene. And now, the Beatles. Let's learn more about them, who they are, where they come from. Jim Anderson reports from England.
There's a saying in England that when you're tough and you come from Liverpool, you're tougher than anybody else. Liverpool is a seaport town full of sailors from all over the world. They say you can tell when the pubs are closed in Liverpool because then the fistfights move out onto the street. Liverpool is where the Beatles come from. But in the case of these four young men with weird Ishkabibble-style haircuts, the Liverpool toughness has come out in a fierce dedication to their kind of music and to success. The success is apparent. Never in the history of England has there ever been such an overpowering, irresistible, saturation kind of success. The Beatle records are automatically in the first 10 in the British Hit Parade on advance sales alone. Who are the Beatles and what has this kind of success done to them? Collectively, they're a close-knit group of four, all sing, three play guitar, one plays the drums. Individually, they are John Lennon, 24 years old, married, one baby son, the unofficial leader of the group, and generally regarded as the brainiest of the Beatles. He composes some of the Beatle hits, also draws strange, scratchy-looking cartoons, and writes equally strange poetry. Second is Paul McCartney, 22 years old, unmarried, also writes some of the Beatle hits, and has dreams of someday being a ballad-type singer, and he has the best singing voice of the four. Third is George Harrison, 21 years old, the most casual one in the group, with no greater ambition than to retire someday with what he calls a whacking great pile of money. Fourth is Ringo Starr. Ringo is a name he was given because he likes to wear rings. He's 24 years old, the drummer. He joined the group late, only about a year ago, and added his driving drum style. It was a magic ingredient because the Beatles' soaring success began when Ringo came in, the quiet one in the group. Ringo's ambition is to own a string of beauty parlors someday. The Beatles' success has made them into almost refugees. Sometimes they have to adopt disguises to escape their adoring, screaming fans.
And those screaming Beatles fans are excited about a sound. We call it the Liverpool sound. The English call it the Mersey sound.
Since the war, the transatlantic traffic in pop music has been from west to east, from America to Europe. Critics over here say that there is a 10-year lag between American and European music tastes. But now, suddenly, the Mersey sound has reversed the trend. But what is this sound, and how did it start? The Mersey, from which the sound takes its name, is a big, dirty river flowing down to the sea in northwestern England. And on the banks of the Mersey, there is a big, dirty city called Liverpool. In its cellars, joints, and back rooms, the Mersey sound is as common as the smoky air. Jim Anderson is up in Liverpool with a definition, such as it is, of the Mersey sound.
This is what the Mersey sound used to be, the cry of gulls and the rumble of a ship's engine on the Mersey River, a wide estuary leading to the deep sea port of Liverpool. But the Mersey sound is now something else. Is the amplified thumping of a bass guitar in one of the basement coffee bars of Liverpool. The newest and most thriving industry here in Liverpool on the banks of the Mersey River is this sound. Generally, three guitars and a drum and four male voices. Nobody quite agrees on what this Mersey sound really is. But here's one expert opinion from a Liverpool music store owner.
Well, it's a sort of rhythmic beat music which started off here in Liverpool. Guitars have always been more popular in other parts of the country, really. I started myself, you know, 20 years ago. And these kids just started off in roundabouts in these cellars, banging away at the guitar, and they got this sort of sound which is... It's very similar to what American music, the old jazz days, how it started off. It's developed from there, and I think they're getting a better sound now than when they started off, and that's why it's caught on. With all this electronic business, you can get, with just a few notes, you can get a big sound with the echo effects and whatnot.
What do you think it is about the Beatles particularly which has enabled them to make it so big?
Well, there's no doubt that they're worshipped by the girls, the Beatles, the young girls, and... They have these hairstyles and whatnot, they're full of life. They do play better than most of the other groups, I think there's nothing about, and there must be a bit of sex or something in it, but it seems all good fun.
Nobody agrees on the definition, but there's no mistaking it when you hear it. It's loud, you can literally feel the music in the caves where it's played, the brick walls tremble, and you can feel the air rush past when the huge loudspeakers amplify every throb of the bass guitar. As the first jazz came up the Mississippi, so did this music come up the Mersey. But the path is more involved than that first trip north from New Orleans. If Liverpool is the birthplace of this sound that the Beatles best represent, then Hamburg, Germany is the incubator. The best of the beat groups, the Beatles among them, serve their apprenticeships in the Sailor nightclubs along the Reeperbahn in Hamburg. The music that they play here in Liverpool and develop in Hamburg was brought to Europe from America. The skill was sharpened against the international edge of sailors' tastes. They want their music simple, they want it loud, and they don't want phony sophistication. The result, the Mersey sound. It's a boom industry here in Liverpool. The sharpest businessmen no longer wait for inside tips on the stock market or back new restaurants with their money. They shop around until they find a promising beat group and invest in the future by financing four young men and their guitars. One man in the music business sat down the other night and was able to list more than 200 active groups from Liverpool alone in a half an hour. There are girl groups, there are bearded groups, there is one group made up of 9 and 10-year-olds. In the increasingly tough world of Merseyside, there are 10 younger groups snapping at the heels of every senior citizen, that is to say, anyone on the shady side of 23. Much of this can be traced back to the Beatles and the success they have had. Listen to a Liverpool music store owner whom I had asked, has the Beatles' success had any effect on guitar sales?
Oh, it's been fantastic, really. Every kid now, 13 years, 14 years of age, wants a guitar to start and play like the Beatles, you know, and drummers like Ringo Starr. Oh, it's had a fantastic influence on the beat scene in Liverpool.
So this is just the beginning.
I was out of work in old New York with nothing in my jeans. I thought I'd be a soldier and go to the Philippines. I wasn't wise to what that little word of soldier means. So I enlisted for soldier. Hurrah! Hooray! The neighbors gave a cheer. Hurrah! Hooray! He was a pest while here. We hope some Filipino will shoot him in the ear while he's enlisted for soldier. And with the band we marched away on the 64th of May. But the soldier had the blues, for they cut out the booze. It was my first sober day. And the maidens, how they cried, and no soldier boys replied. Goodbye, little girls, goodbye. Goodbye, little girls, goodbye. We're going now to the Philippines to fight for our country and to live on beans. Don't cry, little girl, don't cry. Says I, little girl, says I. This beat married life sublime, for we don't fight all the time. Good. goodbye, little girl, goodbye. Now I'm going to try and recite you a little prize recitation written by my brother, who's just graduated with high honors from the Princeton County Jail. He stood at the bar of justice, sober but with a jag. He chewed upon a toothpick while his lawyers chewed the rag. They'd placed on his shoulders many crimes, so many his back was bent, for they said he'd robbed the cheeseworks, and stolen every cent. Silence, yelled the gray-haired judge. The clerk yelled silence, too. Silence, yelled the sheriff. Then silence was the cue, and everyone yelled silence till silence filled the place, when somebody woke the jury up with a good hard kick in the face. Is he guilty or not, the judge, he cried. Guilty, the foreman said, and the verdict is that he be hung 12 times until he is dead. Oh, mercy, the prisoner cried. See, I am on my knees, when a voice cries, halt! He is innocent, and enrolled a case of cheese. And the cheese told a simple story that the lawyers could not balk. How that it felt so strong one day it simply went out for a walk. So never run down Limburger, just stop and consider, please. You never may know when your life may be saved by a poor little piece of cheese. I'm going to try and sing you another little song, a little thing dedicated to any judge you wish to name. A little thing entitled, You May Be Deaf, But You'll Get Your Hearing in the Morning. A boy once caught a bumblebee for fish bait he was wishing. He put him in his pistol pocket, then he went a-fishing. He sat down on the bank and on the bee, the little sinner. And now that boy's an awful crank, he stands up to his dinner. A poor old bumblebee, poor old bumblebee. Don't sit on him while you're fishing or he'll spoil your disposition. Poor old bumblebee, to the boy says he. Now at my beehive, you beehive, and let the bumblebee.
Say thank you or please, I do what I want when I'm wanting to. My soul's so cynical, so you're a tough guy, like it really rough guy, just can't get enough guy, chest always so puffed guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. I am the bad guy. I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad guy.
songs in 3 hours. It's only a certain group of guys can do that.
Pickle on his nose, and this is the way my story goes. S-S-S, kiss you. I-K-I-S-S, kiss you. On your F-A-C-E, face, face, face. Now we'll sing it together.
I am a pretty little Dutch girl, as pretty can be. And all the boys around my block are crazy over me. I have a boyfriend, Patty. He comes from Cincinnati. With 48 toes and a pickle in his nose. And this is the way my story goes. One day when I was walking, I heard my boyfriend talking to a little girl with a strawberry curl. And this is what he said to her. I-L-O-V-E, love you.
This is John here.
This is Paul.
George.
And Ringo.
And we're very happy to be on your program once again.
A yellow submarine.
As a classicist myself.
First-class
honors. I'm very interested to hear a rendition of a Beatles song that doesn't have any words in English, translated into Latin by himself.
To alter how brains think.
I suggest mind probe.
You are authorized to use the mind probe.
I prefer to put my faith in the mind probe.
The mind probe is considerable.
We have mind probing techniques.
We shall have to use the mind probe.
The mind probe.
Mind probe? Look, you can use your mind probe or whatever.
They'll use the mind probe.
No, not the mind probe.
It's just a mind probe.
Your probes have touched me.
Mind probing, probing.
Commence the analysis of the brain.
How intelligent are you? It's time to find out the results.
You have got an IQ of 170.
What does that actually mean?
Normal IQ is 100.
Did you really mean to hurt me? No, I think you only meant to tease. But it's hard to remember through these broken memories. Through these broken memories.
This is Eamon Andrews speaking. I've got a special message for all those of you who are 25 or under. Polio strikes at you, and it hits hardest at you. Do you know what polio can mean? It can mean months of serious illness followed by a ruined life. And it can hit anyone, no matter how active or healthy. There's only one way to guard against it: vaccination. Vaccination costs you nothing and only takes a minute. All you have to do is register. There are registration centers in this district now. If you're 25 or under, you must not delay. Register now. Don't forget, polio strikes at the under 25.
Who's got a crush on you?
It's Dream Phone, the electronic game with the talking phone. To win, call guys, get clues, figure out which guy really likes you.
He's not wearing a hat.
Bye, guys. What'd he say?
My secret.
You.
He's not at the beach.
See you later. Guys. It's Dan. Dan's my man.
You're right. I really like you.
Yes. Dream Phone, the hot electronic talking phone game.
It's for you.
Would you like to share our fantasies? My name is Monique. We would love to share yours. Oh, by the way, this is my roommate, Naylan. Call us. We're waiting.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the worst programming ever.
Stupid question.
How would you like to do
it? What you're doing is mind jamming.
That's of course.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and call.
So good luck trying.
And
why does anyone give a damn about pop culture?
Commercial media is about bread and circus. It's about spectacle. It's about celebrity gossip.
Everything that people feel is okay to treat celebrities like zoo animals.
It's about the Super Bowl.
It is the world of luxury that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Corporations are preying on the United States.
This is all for you.
Ceaseless exploitation, targeted espionage, expansion,
surveillance,
and violence. We are mesmerized by electronic hallucinations and kind of iron control of the systems of information by corporate power, who are determined to exploit and exploit and exploit and exploit and exploit and exploit and exploit until collapse. When you are unable in any real way to affect the environment of the world around you, then you wrap yourself in these cocoons of fantasies. And that's, of course, how corporations want it.
Was one step ahead.
With a certain style, an eye for detail.
And we're obsessed by power.
Our commitment has never been stronger.
The myth of America is still there.
There ain't no way.
Thank you.
This is guidepost number 4 in the series, Selling Yourself. The subject of this record is getting a fair hearing for your ideas. Here is Dr. Jesse S. Nirenberg to tell you about it. This is Jess Nirenberg. On this record, we're going to talk about the problem of getting another person to listen to your ideas with an open mind. And this really is a problem. How many times have you heard yourself saying things like,
"When I tried to explain it to him, I couldn't even get to first base. He had his mind made up before I got started, and he was just waiting for me to finish so he could turn me down."
Yes, it happens to all of us. And often it doesn't make any difference whether our idea is good or bad. Sometimes we know we've got something good to offer, something the other person would really go for if he would just open his mind and listen. And yet we're finished before we even get started. It's a mighty frustrating experience.
In Italiopido, eratomo, nauticus, qui inquit abito, sub aquaribus, vitreis, navigamus usquad sol, quo erat mare, vitreum, abitamus in aquis, sub navibus roseis, habitamus sub vitreo, habitamus sub vitreo.
I was bringing people down. They won't even let me volunteer at a hospice. I lose my keys just so I can talk to locksmiths. And my love life is moving pretty slow. Last time I had a date, MTV was showing videos. The operator won't even take my call. I couldn't get a yes from a bobblehead doll. I think I'd settle for some eye contact, cause I couldn't feel alive if I was high on crack. Sally Suther said that I was making her depressed. How long I can go on to, that's anybody's guess.
My depression sets in from childhood neglection. At times I find myself standing in the intersection. Some people say a dog's a man's best friend. So why does Elvis run away when I'm calling him? The suicide hotline had me holding half the night. Overdosed on vitamins, then brought back to life. I could only hope for a civic to vote. Bought tickets for a singles cruise, then missed the boat.
I feel alone. I got no peeps. I say 3 out of 7 nights I cry myself to sleep. I'm the saddest dude alive. You'll never see me smile. I feel confined, even when I freestyle. You can sit here and talk shit or berate me, but I'm probably the best at being self-deprecating. Rather be asleep than awake. Stay drunk in bed. They say it's a symptom. I say it's a game. Most women who date me end up fed up. I'm the only guy with speed dates and people ask to be sped up. The saddest part of life is the whole thing. The weather's bad when I arrive, cause that's what I bring. You think there's a rapper that's sadder, I'm flatter. I was born a CEO, made my way down the corporate ladder. Think my only option's masturbating is an understatement. I get bent, then I call my mom to vent.
Sometimes you cry. Sometimes you pry. Sometimes you sing. Sometimes you cling.
All right.
Yeah.
quoting Nietzsche there about looking down, and only artists and philosophers have the capacity to look into what he calls the court of molten pit reality. And when they come back out, they find that the wider populace, which is unable to look, can't deal with it. And so I depart a little bit from Nietzsche there. Nietzsche, like Plato, says that you create illusions, myth, in order to explain a reality or help people cope with a reality.
Well read. What time do I have to be there? How many days a week is it? I can do that. Okay. Yeah, I'm available. Sure.
Tell them you're desperate and you can't say no.
You could just have me work security.